The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Let me tell you who's one of the wise men. He is a wise man. He is Mr. Jason Kelce, of course, with us every Thursday at this time, brought to us by his beer, Garage Beer. The garage is always open. Light beer like it used to be. Find Garage Beer at your local realtor or, of course, retailer. Or drink it, of course, at drinkgaragebeer.com. That's drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers.
Don't go
and
to your local realtor for it.
No, don't do that.
I mean,
and
they
dad's
might have it too.
They may.
They're a good realtor.
Damn straight.
It's the closing, or maybe the gift after.
That's right.
So, Jason, how was Thanksgiving? How are you, bud?
Doing great. Had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It's been a fun week for sure. I was down with Bill Murray playing golf with him, which is
no big deal.
Yeah,
look at that.
Still in awe that took place. So yeah, it's been a fun week for me.
How much Caddyshack talk was there, you and Bill Murray, on a golf course?
There was a ton of Caddyshack, especially with the caddies on the. I mean, I think the caddies were. That's like the pinnacle of like their profession. So they were just. It was a blast. It was a complete blast. And he has this uncanny ability, obviously, of being off the cuff, but just like to connect with people, which was fun to witness in person.
That's fantastic, man. Cool dude.
Very cool dude. Very cool dude. Very cool place. Vidalia, Georgia, Hoopy Match Club. It was a fun experience, to say the least.
How do you keep your schedule up? I mean, it's like every day I feel like you're in a different state. How do you do it?
Well, I don't. I have somebody who handles it for me, and she does a great job, Emily. We find a way to make it work, and there's a lot of opportunities, and right now we're probably scaling back a little bit because we've been running around, but this was one that I was not going to miss for sure.
Good for you, man. Scaling back a little bit because you're running around. Is that because you are, I would imagine, feeling the effects of run, or is this
bit.
Just someone telling you, hey, we need to pull back?
Well, I think the entire internet's telling me to pull back.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Well, that too.
Yeah, I think I'm probably been doing a little bit too much, but you try and take advantage of opportunities when they come. But also part of it's just, holidays are coming up. We're doing this late night show later in the year with ESPN. And in order to do that well, I'm going to have to do rehearsals because that's going to be live. It's going to be rehearsals and stuff like that. There'll be a band. So I think I'm trying to really make sure that that's good. So over the next month, we'll probably tone it down a bit.
Good for you. So Jason, three major developments since we last talked to you 2 weeks ago.
All right.
You just touched, and by the way, Jason, of course, fielding phone calls for the next hour. You can join us 215-592-9494. So congratulations, and this is not in any particular order other than, number one, as you just referenced, the TV show coming up on ESPN.
Yeah.
It sounds so
It's an
exciting.
Incredible achievement. But let me, real quick, before we deep dive that.
Sure.
Congratulations on baby number four coming up.
How about it?
Thank you.
I mean, that is, that's really special, man.
I say this a lot. At what point do you stop getting congratulated and start being like, what are you doing?
Well, Jason, Joe and I know this since we're the youngest of big families. Like, I was six. You were five.
I was fifth.
I was the sixth kid. So I'm thankful they continued on.
For sure.
I like to hear that.
How's Kylie doing? Is she all good?
She's great. Yeah, Kai's good. She's not at that point yet where it's like uncomfortably like pregnant, so she's doing well. Yeah,
good. All right, so let's get to the TV show, then we'll get to the team, because the Eagles are the other thing. I mean, their Super Bowl talk is really real now, but let's
for sure.
TV show, So how did it come together? I mean, I think there's been a late night dearth for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the old days where America doesn't tune into anything other than pro football these days the way they used to. Like, that's more than that. So much has gone down because you got Netflix, you got this, you got that.
There's a lot of competition.
You can just look on your phone on YouTube. I lie in the bathtub and just check out my phone for an hour. Mm. But you're going to try to break through.
Yeah, that was gross.
I do. But I mean, Jason,
I can't wait to hear that you're watching this late night show in your bathtub
while I'm naked. Thinking of you, Jason. A naked hammer thinking of you. All right, so Jason, while you dwell on
hammer
thinking about you, so how did it come together, and tell us like your mindset?
No, we were talking to a bunch of the networks when we were thinking about, you know, where to go and what was going to happen this year as far as a media thing, and it became apparent there'd be opportunities to potentially try something like this. And, I've always, to me, when I think of the NFL, I think of the iconic NFL music and these highlights and, you know, Steve Sable, John Facenda, and like these, a lot of NFL films type things. And that was a big thing for me, was there's a lot of connections. You know, NFL films starred in Philadelphia. I think John Facenda was like on, used to be like a news anchor.
He was here.
Yeah.
Until I believe the early 80s.
And, NFL Films.
Or maybe it was prior to that, but he was for a long time here. That's right.
So NFL Films is in South Jersey. And I'm like, okay, how can I get that music to be a part of whatever I'm doing? Because to me, that's when I hear like the classic battle, and I'm trying to like make sure.
Well, Seltzer can play them. I mean, he's got
that. All right.
You don't think I'm already doing that?
There we go.
Just getting it ready.
Like, how can you not hear this and just, like, get goosebumps about football, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to have a live band. We're going to be playing music like this. There'll be former players and coaches talking about the game. There'll be comedy bits. But for me, I really wanted to try and incorporate, you know, what's a template that I could do something that, you know, celebrates the past of football, celebrates what's currently happening, because this season at least will be 5 episodes during the postseason. And then what's something that I can also celebrate the fan base as a part of?
Nice.
And obviously we wanted to do it in Philadelphia. NFL Films being close by helps that out, as well as just doing it someplace that is, one, easy to get to, but also, two, was obviously where I played my whole career at.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing it in the most diehard football town in America. We're doing it with some really, really cool people. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be something that celebrates the game. Is funny, is in entertaining. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Good for you, man. So it sounds very, amazing. The way you've described it so far, football focused and sports focused.
For sure.
Are you going to broaden out from that and do the late night, you know, here's an A-list celebrity, here's Tom Cruise, he's got a new movie coming out.
The monologue, how about that,
does
too?
Does that stuff play in, or is it more sports?
We're toying around with that right now. I think the monologue, we've toyed around with no monologue, I think. After talking to some people, we might do like a little bit intro, but it won't be an extended monologue if we do something like that.
Yep.
I'm really trying to avoid having guests on for the sake of just like a big name who's on a promotional trip.
Well, then have Richie on. He's a small name.
No, yeah. Sure.
What's the John Richie? John Richie or Taylor Swift? First guess.
Either way.
I think the panel discussions that I like have experts on the panel, but then potentially have like, you know, somebody up there that's just a football fan that's like a diehard guy.
Yeah.
Because I think
that
people,
is cool.
Yeah. I think that people, when you play the game, you think about the game a certain way and you think about questions and answers that revolve around that. It's nice to have somebody on the panel sometimes that just like thinks about the game from a fan's perspective. So the conversation happens in a way that the people watching really appreciate as well. So I think I'm going to try and make sure that panel is well-balanced of guys that are going to be able to chop it up and have fun,
yep,
and are experts in the game, but also people that are just fans of the sport and genuinely interested in learning and talking with guys that used to play. Or, I mean, we might get some current players because the season will be over at that point for a number of them. So we'll see.
Well,
this
major congrats,
so daunting. And what is the time frame that you're trying to move all of this into go time for? Like, when does it feel like it's like
Yeah, we got rehearsals this week, actually. We're already filming things for the first episode. Yeah.
Wow. Holy cow. Yeah.
And the launch date. What's the launch date?
Flying by the seat of your pants. Like, it really does feel, I mean, that must feel exciting.
Is it early January it launches?
January 3rd, I think, is the first episode.
And 5 are planned as of now, correct?
Correct, yep.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
Way to go.
Major awesome. Congrats.
Wow. Thank you very much.
So let's get to the third development, because, of course, Jason with us every Thursday, except for, you know, last Thursday with Thanksgiving not. So the other one, Jason, in the last 2 weeks, and it's not like it wasn't sort of kicking around in portions of November.
Yeah.
But the win against Baltimore.
It's huge. Yeah.
It really, like, so, Jason, you played in all the games until this year. I said after that game, I said Monday this week, I thought it was the third best win the organization has had this decade. And here's the way I size it up. Number one was beating San Francisco in the NFC Championship game.
So we are counting playoff games.
Yeah, right. I am counting. Yeah. And number two was beating the Chiefs on the road last year. Very similar to Baltimore, but to me, like a better team. And a team that ultimately won the Super Bowl and was defending champs. I think it was a bigger deal. And the one I was trying to weigh it between was Baltimore last week versus the Giants, who weren't very good, but it was a playoff game and an incredibly decisive playoff win you guys had in 2022. Bottom line is, I call this third best in 5 years. It was it just took the Eagles up multiple notches, both locally and nationally, with the belief people have in this squad.
Yeah, I don't know where it falls in the ranking. I'd have to like really look at. Maybe my memory is just not good to be able to draw on the games like that. But I think it's a huge win. This is a team that, in Baltimore, that has been one of the best AFC teams since Lamar Jackson has been there. I mean, since John Harbaugh has been there. I mean, these guys have been towards the top for a long time.
Yep.
They're a physical, big, like when I think of the NFL, and probably it's because I'm from Cleveland, I think of the AFC North and the way a lot of those teams are built. And when you can compete with those teams and really match that physicality, that is a surefire sign that you are a legitimate football team. And that's what I really appreciate about that game was when I think of bully teams, I think of the Ravens, I think of the Steelers, I think of teams that are built to control the line of scrimmage in a physical and intimidating manner. And the Eagles were not intimidated one bit. They matched and exceeded that physicality, and I thought it was an enormously impressive victory for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Jason, there was a lot made this week of the fact that all of the Eagles' offensive linemen are pullers. You know, that we use the power scheme so much that, you know, we do pull the center, which goes back to you, which is so rare and unique, and then we all... As fans, we know that you were part of bringing our current center, Cam, in part because he had a skill set that was similar to yours. How much does that matter? The fact that every one of these guys, and they're gigantic, by the way.
Yeah, that's the
every
that
one
I think
of them
about
can
how
pull.
Big they are, yeah.
That's the size, just to start, is crazy. But then the fact that they're all... like just dexterous enough to get out there in space and find their target. It just seems almost impossible to put a group of guys together like that.
Yeah.
How rare is it? How much does that help the run game?
Well, I guess I'll speak to the pulling first. I think, you know, a few years ago, maybe it was with Nick, we really started getting into running counter a little bit. And we started doing it with Jalen, with the read counter. And then we just started like, hey, we kind of like counter. Let's just start running counter. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a really good fit off of some of these zone concepts and things that we already did. You know, with Chip Kelly, it was all zone read. And we had the one pull down and around play where we get on the edge. But, you know, now they have a really good blend of the counter, the tackle pull, the center pull on draws or on these, like, you know, five-man run plays. The scheme is multiple. They have tackle traps we started doing on like third downs. And I think in order to do all these things, you need an athletic offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, in order to control the line of scrimmage, you need a physical offensive line.
Sure.
So it's a hard thing to balance. And what the Eagles have, and you know, I credit, you know, the way they valued offensive linemen. I mean, it's not rocket science, you know, that you get really big, fast, strong guys and they can do all this stuff. And, you know, the the plotting, you know, power. You're just going to run one, you know, two back power and be like a wall. That's not enough, I don't think, in this league anymore. You need to be able to have these guys that can do multiple things. And what the Eagles have right now, I mean, Jordan Mulata, Landon might not be the best example of an athlete, but he's definitely
he's a beast of a man.
Football player.
Yeah, yes.
And he's a sneaky athlete. Mekhi Becton is an incredible athlete. Lane Johnson is potentially the most athletic person I've seen, next to Jason Peters, and then Cam Jurgens is enormously athletic. So, yeah. And I always felt, you know, the center being athletic is really nice because there's a lot of things you can do with that position, and having a big center, I don't know that it offers that much of an advantage because the neutral zone isn't as much, so you don't get as much movement out of the position regardless. But the two big guards, when I played my best, we had two just like big guys next to me that could really control the depth of the pocket and control the line of scrimmage, and I would work in unison with, and they would create such movement on these double teams or even singled up. And the fact that I think Mekhi Becton has been unbelievable this year in his growth, and I think Landon Dickerson continues to be one of the best guards in the league. And that, combined with Cam being the incredible piece that he is, and then we have two of the best, if not the best, tackles in the league.
Yeah, yeah. Jason with us in studio here. All right, 215-592-9494. To get some calls in, reminder, 9:30 today. Eric Dickerson on the program. So obviously Saquon is going for...
Eric Dickerson's coming on.
Dickerson. So Saquon's going for the record, Dickerson, today. We'll find out, does he want him to get it? Does he not?
I think everybody knows the answer to that, bro.
It's no, but, right?
Yeah. I don't know how to say that.
No, I'll say it. No, maybe Jason.
I wouldn't want someone to get my record. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's probably like that gung-ho no on it, but I mean, obviously, I think that's something that he takes pride in.
Of course. How would you know?
I guess the big question is, how hard do you go in the honesty department if you're Eric Dickerson?
Well, that'll be interesting.
I would be cautious about really letting the cat out of the bag about how I really felt, which is, oh, hell no. I would want to try to sabotage your efforts to beat me because I want it to last forever. Like, 2105 should stand forever. I now have, like, I hold it against Saquon. Like, I want him to
suffer. Well, I don't think it's... No, it's not that. You don't have to go that far.
I know he can't say that.
I don't think he's going
to
be that
good. He's not going to say, I want him to suffer.
He's not going
to
say, I'm going to sabotage him.
I don't think he's going to feel that. I think he's proud of his record, but I think just like most guys, like, I don't think he's going to be like, screw this guy at all.
Right.
But I think, you know, if I'm him, I'm a little bit... I don't know. He won't bring it up, so I'll bring it up probably. You know, 17 games now.
Yeah. Jason, he can't because he broke OJ, who was in 14 games.
Yeah, but well, Jim Brown was 14 games.
Yeah, like Dickerson, we'll talk to him about that topic also, but he can't really say, like, if he goes hard to the wall on that, then people are going to be like, well, wait a minute. Then OJ got completely screwed at 14 games.
Yeah, or he could just go back to like, hey, man, listen, OJ's the one. If I was him, I would go, I think, you know, OJ's the rushing record guy because he had a better yard per game with 14
games. I mean, he certainly did.
Yeah.
There's no, by the way, Eagles, Carolina, the
I
game.
I don't know that we should be propping up OJ.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
The juice is going to come back from the dead for a couple extra yards. All right, we are giving away tickets to the Eagles and Panthers coming up in about 10 minutes. 8 o'clock today. Excuse me. Tomorrow we give away the tickets to the Eagles and the Panthers. You got to listen today at 8 o'clock for a name that we will give you.
Courtesy, of course, of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, a lot going on here in Philadelphia sports, including, you know, Juan Soto obviously looks like the Phillies are not in it at all. Reports they haven't even made an offer, haven't met with him. And the Sixers, what a debacle. Let's get to Scott right now in King of Prussia. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, team.
Hi, Scott.
Quick question for Jason and then a question for Ben. Jason, have you had a chance to watch Cam Jurgens on tape? And if so, I'm wondering if you could tell us what you see and maybe the positives and if you see any negatives as well.
All right, give me the second question, Scott, then we'll get to that. What do you got the question for Ben?
Okay, question for Ben. How much pressure is there from the union to take the highest deal?
Ooh,
great question.
Interesting question. All right, here's the answer I need from you, Scott, because you can win the tickets for Kevin Hart. Someone that's identified with one specific thing, like Dickerson and the goggles. What do you got?
Well, these two go together, and you can't have one without the other. Snoop and cannabis.
Yeah, all right. I guess that works. I guess that does work.
It's a great answer.
Ben, let's start with you and the union as it relates to Juan Soto. I remember this has been an issue at times, different sports.
CC Sabathia is one that stuck out.
Especially in a non-capped sport, because there's no limit to what you can get. Does the union really pressure people?
I would say to a point, yes.
And who does that?
Players.
Players.
Yes.
You get a call or a nudge from a player like, yeah, dude, you gotta
raise the price here.
Now, is that normally from a different team? Like your own teammate wouldn't maybe say that because they might want you to stay where you are, maybe?
No,
I know you weren't the Barry Bonds contract guy, but you've been around it. You know.
I think there's a nudge. I also think there's a personal understanding of getting that price tag even higher.
Right.
Because it's, you know, you're looking out for each other. And if you can get that price up a little bit higher, because it's going to raise, you know, high tide raises all boats.
Sure.
So that's, it can change.
I will say this. Here's one thing as a sports fan I've never understood, and just as a human. Like, if I want to sign somewhere, let's take way less money. Like, forget the 600 freaking million stuff. If I want to go somewhere for $10 million, and someone else wants me to go somewhere for $11 million, and I feel I'm truly going to be happy, and my family's going to be happy at the $10 million spot, I'm going to the $10 million
spot. But I don't think the union's getting involved for that. The union's getting involved when it's like $600 million or $500 million.
No, I know. I was just trying to use a scenario where it's not about $600 million. I mean, I hear you, James. My point is, though, same thing applies. $600 million or $550.
It's about setting bars, though. It's about setting bars.
But it's about a human being happy.
I get it. I get it.
I'll say this. The same thing happens in football. And it's more position specific as opposed to like team. Like, there's a lot of pressure, I think, within positions for guys to reset markets and to continue that thing growing. I
mean,
and there's been news all offseason about like the running backs meeting and like trying to make sure that that position is respected and paid at the appropriate level. But I know for sure that, you know, in particular, one guy signed less because he was happy and wanted to stay in a specific spot. And
yep.
That would upset some guys for sure. Yeah.
So the Juergens thing, you kind of already touched on it, but you got to be proud of him, right?
Very proud. And I mean, nothing unexpected. Like, definitely, you know, we talked about it before the season. I expected him to go in there and play at extremely high level. He has all of the tools and traits to be a very good center in this league. I think what I've seen, I think early on, obviously, you're getting used to the position. There was like, whatever stuff in Green Bay. And so we'll put all that aside. Where he's at now, he is incredibly strong at the point of attack. You saw him against Washington. He has very strong hands. And when he gets them into the body and just glues guys, he moves with them and creates great movement at the point of attack, which is really important for any of these runs, but especially some of these zone concepts.
Sure. It's like farmer hands.
Yeah, ranch hands for sure. Yeah. Yeah, he was pass setting cows coming out.
Seriously, so.
Bales of hay,
you know,
throwing them around.
Cows are. Have you ever tried to move a cow?
This is Ben Davis's favorite conversation, by the way.
Seriously,
believe it.
Try to punch one of those cows. I swear to you, it's like it's
nice
made out of concrete. Concrete.
Yeah, they're heavy animals, but no. You know, and the farm strength.
You should try it. I'm telling you,
don't try it. Don't try it.
The farm strength thing is real. Lot of the offensive linemen that I played with that came from farms had these oddly strong hands.
Yeah,
because they have been working with their hands for a long portion of their lives, and I think Cam has very strong hands. He's got long arms. He's doing a good job of playing within balance, and they're doing a much better job passing off games now.
Yep.
Mekhi Becton and him are snapping things off in this last game. I think he's doing better at the second level. The one knock, I think, that you saw him coming out of college, he makes some devastating blocks at the second level, but sometimes he's so out of control that he would get slipped and he would miss some of them. Whereas I think what you're seeing the second half of the season, he's doing a much better job at the second level, connecting at a higher percentage
nice.
Of those.
More
love
under
it.
Control.
So here's
yeah, but he's still he's still having the devastating blocks. You want look at Washington at the end of the game. I mean, that highlight, he had the him and Landon scooped the nose, and he like decapitated the safety who was down in the box in a 4-minute drill. So he's still having the dynamite blocks, but I think he's connecting at a higher level on those now. And I think there's a little bit early on between him and Mekhi, especially on the angles on some of these zones, were just a little bit off. And like, you know, there's things where like the backer's inside and he goes to the backer a little bit too soon on a combo. Makai thinks he's going to be there, or like he stays too long and then he's getting undercut. Now they're doing a better job of navigating that, right? Which, you know, that has nothing to do with anything physical. It's just
it's,
you know, communication and reps,
yeah,
and understanding.
Familiarity.
You know, Makai seeing, oh, the backer's in there. You know, Cam's going to be a little bit thinner on this combination block. I'm going to take a little bit more of it because I'm going to anticipate that he's going to come off and
sure.
stuff like that.
So here's yeah. who's that's who's doing a good job. Here's who's not doing a good job. Ben Davis, not you. That's Ben Davis, comma, Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right. Let me give you some audio of Nick Nurse yesterday because, of course, Joel just keeps not playing. Maybe he'll play the next game. Maybe he won't. Probably won't. He's ramping up, whatever. Here is Nick Nurse last night with the latest on Joel Embiid.
Joel's been out so much. Has there been a thought of just saying, take a couple weeks off, take a month off, and we'll revisit later? Is it really?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, no, yeah, it's that. We're still trying to get him. I mean, you guys know he was out there today and you know, moving okay and just trying to get him, see where he's at. You know, after a good workout, we need to see how it reacts, and then we go tomorrow again and just, this, as soon as it's good enough to go, he's going to go.
You know, it was a reasonable question. You know, if you didn't hear, the question essentially was, you think about just shutting him down for a month. And not that anyone wants that, but is that, like, because, John, it's game by game by game by game yeah. by game. He doesn't play, and then the next game, and he doesn't play.
All of this is just...
It's very demoralizing.
It's too much to handle. And you can see it painted all over Nick Nurse.
Well, you
can. He's demoralized.
And the fan base.
We're demoralized. It's yeah. just too much. Yeah. I'm so tired of thinking about this. Like, oh, great. Now we got maybe he'll play Friday.
Right.
Okay.
But you know he probably
will. Do I really hope? I really do want to see him play. I'm really interested yeah. to see him do well. But, man, it's hard to hold on.
Real
hard
quick.
To hold out.